I want to begin with a special word of thanks to John Krause, Jamie Palmer, and the people at IU, at the SPIA school, who provided absolutely essential help here. I have said so often that there had to be ways to engage the tremendous academic and intellectual capacity of the state more directly in solving public problems. And now, twice in 1 week, IU and SPIA have stepped forward. First, Deputy Secretary Jim Barnes' independent look at Great Lakes water quality, and now the work that you're about to receive or have just received was only possible through their good offices. And it's just a great example of how our outstanding universities can play a very direct and positive role in informing the public and in shaping public policy. And I just hope this leads to more and more such engagement and involvement in the future. It'd be good for us all. We are here to celebrate an act of citizenship on the part of these seven people, seven citizens with no axes to grind, only the public interest at heart, have brought us 27 recommendations, carefully thought through, unanimously agreed upon. This is a report not to me, but very intentionally, as I conceived it, to all the people of Indiana. And I think everybody ought to read it and digest it and reflect on it, as I have been doing. But I'm going to reserve any personal comment about it, because this is a conversation we should all have together. I'll just make a couple obvious points. First of all, in terms of local government structure, Indiana skipped the 20th century. We are dealing with the system of that is a century and a half old, and it is in need of modernization. We have too many of everything, and they all cost money. And I will observe, secondly, that there is a very direct connection here to our ambitions to dramatically lower property taxes in this state. Too much government pushes property taxes up, and viewed the other way around, if you want to get property taxes down and keep them down, this commission has given us a terrific roadmap for doing that. So with profound thanks to former Senator Louis Mayhern, President Adam Herbert of IU, to Ian Rowland, to John Stafford, Sue Ann Gilroy, and to, of course, our co-chairs, I say thank you for a job very well done. You've done exactly what I had hoped you'd do. You've given us clarity and boldness and courageous recommendations that I know every Hoosier will want to take very seriously. Let me introduce our two chairs, Chief Justice Randy Shepherd and Governor Joe Kernan.
Thank you, Governor. And good morning. Can anybody remember a time when there was more public anxiety about the cost of government or about its capabilities? Our charge was given in the midst of that anxiety, and we're here today to speak to it. You'll remember that Governor Daniels' request was that we develop proposals to reform and restructure local government in Indiana to increase its efficiency and effectiveness and reduce its cost to Hoosier taxpayers. And so we've spent the last 6 months asking whether Indiana's patchwork of local government enterprises delivers the most effective service at the lowest possible expense, and the answer is no. Indiana, contrary to its own self-image, is in fact a place that supports lots of government and lots of governments. We support some 3,000 local government units, and we pay for more than 11,000 office holders. All of this is more expensive than it needs to be. Moreover, it's so complicated that citizens and taxpayers have a very difficult time maneuvering their way through it and figuring out who to thank or who to hold accountable. What's more, even the men and women who work in it, dedicated as they are, serve in a system of overlapping layers and find it difficult to perform their duties effectively. To make more accountable, more effective, more efficient government, our commission is releasing its report today, Streamlining Local Government, We've Got to Stop Governing This Way, with 27 proposals that the seven of us have all agreed to. Governor Kernan's going to give you an oversight and a series of examples of what those are.
Thank you very much, Randy. Governor, thank you. And thanks to all of the other members of this commission that have been working hard over the course of the last couple months. And to echo what the governor said to John Krause and Jamie Palmer and the team over at the Center for Urban Policy and Environment, we wouldn't be here now. We might get here someday, but it wasn't going to be a couple weeks before Christmas. I'm going to talk a little bit about the recommendations, some of the recommendations that, as has been said, were unanimously agreed to by all seven of us. But first, we propose that there be one county executive in every county as opposed to a board of commissioners. And the reason for that is, we believe, simple and common sense. You wouldn't run General Motors with three CEOs. You wouldn't run your local Dairy Queen with three CEOs. But one person having the responsibility makes sense from an administrative standpoint. That county executive will be elected. Secondly, there are eight other elective offices that are on the administrative side in county government. And with the exception of the county prosecutor, which we propose will continue to remain an elective office, all the other eight offices, which would be the surveyor, the assessor, the clerk, the recorder, as well as the sheriff, will be appointed by the chief executive as opposed to being elected. Probably the one that was least expected was the sheriff, but for the same reasons of having one administrator who makes policy decisions as opposed to a group of administrators that are all making policy decisions relative to their own specific responsibility. We believe that there will be clearer definition of responsibility, which will lie with the chief executive. And again, the sheriff is the only elected law enforcement officer in America at any level of government. You don't elect the chief of police. We don't elect the superintendent of the state police. We don't elect the head of the FBI. But we believe that there should be civilian oversight and, again, clearer lines of authority and responsibility by electing, by appointing those positions. And the chief executive, the county executive, will have a great deal of flexibility to be able to make the system work in taking on those the responsibility for delivering those services. Township government and its responsibilities will be shifted to the county executive. All of the responsibilities from assessment to poor relief, fire protection, and other various responsibilities depending on the community will become the responsibility of the county executive. We again believe that it is important to eliminate what has become a confusing layer of government, one that does not is not conducive at all to uniformity in policy as well as implementation, and that obviously includes assessment, and we again believe that that position ought to be appointed. We recommend that there be a countywide body that will oversee the provision of all public safety services. That will include police protection, fire protection, emergency medical services, as well as all counties, at least on a countywide basis, regionally where appropriate, combine into one countywide system or regional system for emergency dispatch, and that they be a part of Safety, which is the statewide program that has been in place, and that they all be under or use an 800 megahertz system that will be consistent throughout the state. This is an important policy recommendation that we believe needs to be implemented across the state. It has been in some communities, but we still have fire departments that can't talk to their police departments that can't talk to the state police, and it's happening all over Indiana. It needs to be fixed, and we think that any expenditures for any other systems that are not consistent with being countywide and compatible in the 800 megahertz, that they should not be permitted, other than to make repairs, to invest in new systems that do not accomplish that. We recommend that funding for the state's trial courts, as well as for child welfare, become the responsibility of the states. The state has the authority in those areas. We believe that the funding responsibility should be there as well. We propose reorganizing school districts to a minimum of 2,000 students. We believe that that gives a corporation the critical mass to be able to provide all of the different kinds of activities as well as educational opportunities in their districts, and to use something like the 1959 reorganization statute for schools. This would affect more than half of the school districts in Indiana. And I think significant to note that we have 46 districts that today have fewer than 1,000 students. We recommend reorganizing our libraries by county as well. We believe that it will provide, again, a more efficient system, one that will have consistency, but one that will provide savings to taxpayers, and very, very importantly, but will permit there to be library service delivered to the 400,000 Hoosiers who today are not served in any way by a library. We propose that municipal elections be moved to an even year. It will save a significant amount of resources for local governments, for municipal governments, and at the same time, we believe will drive additional turnout during those elections. We propose that the bonds of school districts as well as of special districts be approved by the fiscal body, the council that is already in place in either the municipality or the county, where the proportion of the assessed, the greatest proportion of the assessed valuation is found. It is an existing body that would have final say, final approval, that citizens are familiar with. It is less confusing, but provides some oversight and some ability to be able to make sure that the expenditures that are being made are consistent and fair for the community. We believe that there should be, and this is our final recommendation and in many ways our most important, that there needs to be technical assistance for local governments, that there should be a state office that is dedicated solely to assisting local communities implement these recommendations. This will be nothing more than a report if it is not implemented. And we believe that there needs to be some assistance for communities across Indiana who will have a variety of challenges in dealing with the recommendations that we have made, and that this body, that this office, should not have any regulatory responsibilities. It should be there to be of assistance. The bottom line is that, as the second chart here shows, is that we are reducing the number of current governments from over 3,000 to under 2,000, and that the number of elected officials in Indiana, which today is at a little more than 11,000, will be as few as 5,200. So it is a significant reduction, a reduction of more than half in the number of officials that will be elected here in the state of Indiana. Again, these recommendations are unanimous. And we are pleased to be able to present them today, and I'm going to turn it back to the Chief Justice.
We believe that these recommendations, designed with each other in mind, that is to say, on a kind of collective basis, can actually transform government in Indiana and, in fact, can do it in a relatively short period of time, 3 or 4 years. Having said that, we also acknowledge that in the short run, what we're proposing will be disruptive, even painful. But we also think that those who have a vested interest in the status quo will resist them, and they'll be easy for you to find today and in the days ahead. Indeed, one of the more troubling aspects of this is that at least a few pieces of what we've recommended had been proposed as long ago as 1935. It seems that today might be a moment when Indiana could decide instead to move forward. We can't afford to make mistakes like that again unless we're willing to pay higher bills. The status quo in Indiana local government simply isn't good enough. Indiana can either embolden itself, designing new arrangements for its prosperity and future, or it can trudge along under a system of government designed 150 years ago. We think now is the time for a change. It will only happen if the people of Indiana insist on it. Finally, I'd like to say that this has been both daunting and invigorating, and I'm grateful to Governor Daniels, to Governor Kernan, and to my fellow commissioners. Hard as this work has been, it has been a terrific experience, and my hope is that the people of Indiana will look at these proposals carefully. We're now all prepared to answer your questions.
So what do you want people to do after they look at these recommendations? Should they contact their legislators? What are you calling for leaders to do?
We'd like them to take the time to read them. You can read the core of it in about 4 minutes. And we hope that they'll let people know what they think. There'll be people who, I imagine as you all go out today, you'll find people who say, a bunch of timid souls, they didn't recommend consolidating counties. All the way over to the other side, there will be people who will say, Kernan and Shepherd have dropped off the deep end, this is dead on arrival, and a bunch of folks in between. You'll find no shortage of interest groups who'll say the latter. I hope you'll talk to some citizens when you write these stories and ask them whether 3,000 units of government and 11,000 office holders is the best way to move forward. We think it's not. But as the governor said in appointing us, we're not reporting to him alone, not to the General Assembly alone, but to 6.3 million people. And in the end, they're the ones who'll decide whether Indiana changes or stays the same. Well, we did discuss it, and simply decided not to go there. Got to leave something for the next generation to do, if they want to. This is pretty strong medicine, and it's plenty for the future. And people might well look around in another generation and say, let's see whether all this works well and what else needs to happen. I think someone had a question.
Governor, how many of these proposals will you be seeking in this year's, the 2008 legislative session?
Today's the commission's day, and it's the people's day. And I'm going to withhold specific reaction for a while. But I'm going to tell you generally that I support the thrust of this very much. You want to know why property taxes are too high? Here's the answer. You want to know how we're going to get property taxes down and keep them that way? Here's the roadmap. And I think for today the right thing for me to do is to refrain from further comment, because really, as the Chief Justice just said, this will there'll be a special interest already forming up against every one of these 27 proposals. And the only way we ever make change is when the public demands it. And so I think today is a day to, for the public and in the days ahead for the public, really, to digest these ideas, consider the credibility of the people and the sincerity of the people who have brought them to us, and then we'll all talk about which ones in which order.
Let me follow up with the Commission, Governor. Given that you have some controversial recommendations, the special interests are already circling at the State House, given that some of these recommendations require a constitutional amendment, which is very difficult in Indiana, who sells this after today? Knowing that the special interest will stop at nothing to stop this, who is going to go out and educate Hoosiers about why this is beneficial to you, not just within the Beltway, but out in the real heartland of Indiana?
That's it.
I think we're all three ought to say to speak to that.
It has already been said. One, there is access to this information. Number two, this is important, and one of the things that we make note of in the report is that you are going to have fewer elected officials, and those elected officials are going to have much more responsibility, and it's going to be important for people to pay attention to who it is that's running for those particular jobs. It's going to matter who the chief executive is in your county. It will matter who serves on the councils at the municipal level as well as at the county level, because they have some additional responsibilities now that we are proposing that they get. I think that there are going to be as well some interest groups that are going to be very supportive of what we are talking about, that will be talking to their members. And looking at these recommendations in the context of what they believe is best for the state of Indiana. We make these recommendations understanding that it was not going to be unanimous, that everyone was going to line up in support of them. But what we do, the reason we did make the recommendations is that we believe they make common sense. We believe that they are right for Indiana. And if not now, when? And I think that it's important to understand as well that this is not meant to be a criticism of anyone who is serving in public office in Indiana today. This is a criticism, it's an indictment of the structure within which they serve. It is not aimed at individuals, it's aimed at a structure that is limiting, that causes confusion, that causes additional costs.
The great majority of what we have recommended can be done by statute and could be done by the General Assembly whenever the General Assembly decided it was wise. There are, in the report, a number of constitutional changes, but they have to do with the elected officials whom we believe ought to be chosen by the county executive, the surveyor, the assessor. Mind you, these are not necessarily offices that would be abolished. You need somebody to do surveying. You need someone to do assessing and someone to do the financial work. But they ought to be working in a structure in which there is central leadership. And going back to the earlier question, there are a number of these proposals that represent the thinking of various elements and associations in our state, and this is one of them, the Indiana Association of County Commissioners, you will see quoted in our report, because they believe that this horizontal, they called it, a kind of horizontal structure in county government, isn't as effective as it would be if you had stronger executive leadership. And so we've taken that page proposed to us by them and embraced it. So, and there are others, the Public Defenders Association, the Judges Association, or two others that come to mind, whose ideas we have embraced. So there are people, reform-minded people in our state, who think the time for change is at hand. The only constitutional changes are the ones that have to do with the necessity for electing certain office holders. Ironically, the county council and the commissioners are not in the Constitution, but the surveyor and the auditor are. I don't know how that occurred, but that's the only constitutional change we see. We don't see a reason for a convention. We think there is reason for amendment. But you ask the way I see that, you ask the question, where is it we'd like to go? Is there something in the Constitution that needs altering so we can go there? And if the answer is yes, then you make those changes. I think that I've always thought the hardest thing about a convention is you sort of have to know why you're dissatisfied in order to think that you'll solve a particular problem by the convention itself. It's plain enough to us that there need to be some changes. We don't see a reason for a convention. If you make those changes, the rest will follow. And it's
use other states as a pattern. Does the county intend to exist elsewhere?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Let me just say something here.
Among the great contributions that the commission has made and IU has made is a website with all sorts of interesting information. And if people are interested and take the time to go there, you will find out what an outlier Indiana is. We elect more politicians to more offices. We have more layers. We have structures that don't exist at all in other states. And most Hoosiers don't know this. So it's a tremendous contribution to our understanding to look at other states and realize that there's a reason why our property taxes are too high and our services often not good enough. And I hope folks will take time to look and see how much more clutter and how much more duplication we do have. It doesn't have to be this way. The commission has recommended that certain things be initiated or begun immediately, and I think we have to take that seriously. I think the work of this short session should concentrate on the opportunity for the biggest tax reduction in Indiana history, the reduction of property taxes. But there are elements here in their report which are already part of our proposal, such as the reform of assessment. And there are others I think we have to consider adding to our proposal. But my own view, everyone should reach his own, is that this will be the work of at least a couple years. But much of it, I learned from reading the report, probably ought to start even in this session.
Let me speak to the website. If you Google Indiana local government reform, you will find the website. You will find all 1,200 citizen comments that were made. We posted those. You will find the research that we've had looking at other states. And you also will find a summary of each of the public forums we've had in which involved 700 people in Indiana. So look at that. Pay some heed to the research that's there, and the report can be downloaded from that site.
Just one personal experience. 20 years ago, right now, I went to rookie school for mayors at the Kennedy School out in Boston. And with me there was a newly elected chief executive of Suffolk County, New York. That was the way that the single county executive was selected, was by election there. We know that there are as well other states. I can't give them to you, but staffs can certainly point you in the right direction. We have recommended a couple of penalties in some specific areas for not moving in a certain direction. The one that comes to mind goes back again to emergency dispatch. It is a public safety issue. It's a homeland security issue. Communities are not cooperating to the degree that they should for centralized dispatch, nor for the implementation of a system that is compatible with the other systems in the state. And we believe that the position that the General Assembly should take is one that is very, very strong relative to that. The other recommendations that have to do with timing really will be, in most cases, up to the General Assembly. We would like to see these initiatives that that require action early on move forward, which would include, for example, the first passage of a resolution to amend the Constitution, which would allow then the next General Assembly that will be seated to be able to pass that and fulfill that requirement, with the idea that most of those recommendations should be in place no later than January 1st of 2011 and could be instituted in the elections of 2010.
I can't give you that number off the top of my head. What I can say to you is this. The research by people involved in education is that you ought not have a school district smaller than 2,000 to 5,000 children. That's the place where you get the most economies of scale and the most opportunity for student improvement. And we picked the lower of those two numbers, 2,000. Taking back to the former question, what happened in our state in 1959, 60, 61 was that there was a school reorganization committee convened in every county to create a plan for the consolidation of very small school districts in accordance with a pretty generous state standard. And then, if approved, that plan was put to the local voters. Most voters in Indiana voted yes, and that's why instead of having 850 school districts as we did in the 50s, we have about 290 today. We think the smallest of those districts don't offer the kind of education that universities and society in general, the economy, demands. And so we propose to do that again and put it to the people in places where we have some medium-sized counties where there are 7, 8, or 9 school districts. It might be that people would decide they'd like to pay for that. Or it might be that they would decide that they'd have better schools at lower cost and they'd vote yes. And part of what we think needs to happen is that people ought to have a better chance than they do today to make their will felt. And we think this system will do that. I'm told we've overstayed our welcome. I'll invite Governor Daniels to wrap up, but we'll certainly stay and answer as many questions as you have individually when we close.
No, nothing further except once again to say thanks for a great act of citizenship. And Governor Kernan has said it well, if not now, when? And now when we are looking for ways to bring down property taxes and to make local government meet the needs of people in a way it is falling short of today. And this is a tremendous contribution by a group of people who ought to be long remembered in our state. And I'll close back on Amos's question. It'll be the job of a lot of us to advocate for the general interest against the special interest objections that we're going to hear. But there's a huge opportunity for legislative leadership here. There's a chance for some legislators to write their names in the Indiana history books by championing some of these recommendations, and I'm very hopeful that people in both parties will see that opportunity and seize it. Thanks for coming.
A couple things